Hello, everybody, and welcome back to That's Life Podcast. My name is Abby Murphy, and I am so happy that you are here today. I have to inform you that, again, my co-host is not here. Very sad. Cue the sad music. It is because let me give you guys the full rundown. So the reason we didn't post on Tuesday was because usually we film our podcast the Monday before because, like everything we do, we are last minute. We're just last minute creatures. That's what we do. The Monday before we upload that night at midnight, as in like we film at like 5 p.m. on Monday, and then I edit right after we finish and then upload it to schedule it to post at midnight so that it goes out on Tuesday. But anyways, enough of that vocal fry. Did y'all hear that? I was like, mrr. But okay. Reel it in, Abby. I've been very scatterbrained today. This is what you get when it's a solo episode. But long story short, Monday, Ryan calls me and he's been dealing with, we've shared about it on the podcast. Ryan is 100% fine with me sharing this, but he's been dealing with a lot of like back pain, neck pain. He doesn't like when I use the word pain, so discomfort is the word I will use, because he's like, it's not painful, it's just so uncomfortable. There's a lot of pressure, ringing in his ears, neck tension, yada, 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 throbbing, all the things. We're in all the doctors now, going to see a neurosurgeon, I think. We saw an orthopedic surgeon as well, and then we also went to urgent care prior to this. So Monday he calls me. And he goes, I think I need to go to the ER. This is at like 1. I was on a walk with my mom. I was like a mile and a half away from the house. Immediately, mom and I like turn around, do a full 180, and we're like, yeet, let's go home. And it was the fastest pace I've ever walked. So I guess it was a good walk, but not for a good reason. So I picked Ryan up and took him to the ER. And we were in the ER for 6 hours. 6 hours. He called me because he was like, I feel like I can't move. I feel so dizzy. I can't do anything. I think I need to go to the hospital. So of course that's what we did. And you know, the ER, it's tough because if there's nothing like drastic, they can't really prescribe you anything or give you anything or whatever. So they were kind to us. However, we were very at our wit's end by hour 6 when the news was nothing seems to, we can't really do anything. So we were like, oh, 6 hours and we are over it. Anyways, I love all of our healthcare professionals. I appreciate everyone in that field. It was just hard for us to have to do that. And we are not entitled to any specific answer or any specific wait time, but we are also human. And that was a day. And I was not about to film a podcast at like 9 o'clock. No, wait. If we got there at 1:30. So 7:30. Yeah, I was not about to film a podcast after that all day at like 8 o'clock. So we went and got Dairy Queen blizzards instead. And that was fun. And then we ate dinner. And that was fun. So prayers for Ryan, please, that we figure out what's going on. I'm not really sure what the future of the next couple episodes will look like, but I don't want to put any pressure on him to film just because a lot of loud noises, a lot of mental strain really does not do well with what he's going through right now. And so it may just be me for a little while. It may be him. I don't know. But please keep him in your thoughts and prayers, specifically just to ease the discomfort. We are just looking for something to ease that in him right now. But we know the Lord is good. We know he's not going to stay here. We know it's going to lead somewhere. There's going to be change in this time in our lives. But right now we're just checking off the boxes, taking it day by day and trying to do the little things while we wait for the next doctor's appointment. So that's a little health update with Ryan. Don't be concerned to the point where like, it's not like a life-altering thing. It's definitely something we need to get sorted out, but he is okay. He is still himself, and we really do appreciate everyone that's been reaching out, telling us. When y'all tell me that you're praying for us, it literally, I'm not even able to like full words right now. That's where my mentality has been this week because I've just been honestly worrying about Ryan. But thank you guys for giving us this space and the time to just kind of like not take things too serious in regards to like content and the podcast and everything, and just letting us know that you're praying for us. And it has been so comforting in a place where we're really lost and confused right now. So we really do appreciate everyone reaching out and sending us all the love and also bearing with us during a time that we don't really know what's going on. So with that being said, last week, if you haven't listened to part one of me discussing questions that you asked involving eating disorders, training, food, recovery, yada, yada, I mentioned that there were so many questions that I might have to do a part two. Well, what a perfect week to do a part two and surprise episode. I am filming this on Friday. It's currently 2:54 right now, and I'm going to upload this right when I finish, and it'll be a surprise, and no one knows it's coming because I wasn't sure if I was going to do it today, but I'm so glad that I am doing it because I honestly just miss you guys so much. And I know it's like I'm talking to a camera, but, and this is the classic like content creator saying of like, oh, I feel like we're just a family and blah, blah. But it is so true. And I am hopping on the bandwagon proudly. I feel like I am talking to my friends. Like, it's just so fun. Every comment, every like, everything means so much to me and to Ryan as well. We made a post yesterday about just everything in 2024 and looking back on this past year. And Ryan and I started doing this in April, and it's December now. Well, end of April, beginning of May is when we really started taking it seriously. And there has been a total shift in just the way that I live my life, the way that we live our lives, the way that we share things, the way that we talk about things, how Ryan and I as a couple operate, because now we have to differentiate like work Abby and Ryan and then relationship Abby and Ryan. There are just so many things that we've had to navigate, and looking back and learning and growing and seeing everything that the Lord has allowed us to be able to accomplish and has equipped us with the tools to be able to go through and do these things, and how the Lord has blessed us is insane. And I'm just feeling so much gratitude, but it would not be possible. Again, I know this is the classic saying, but I don't know how else to word it other than like, it would not be possible without you. I truly mean that. And I know it sounds cliche, and I know it sounds like what everybody else says, but it is so true. It would not be possible without you. You have to understand, like, logistically, I'm getting really, really logistical right now, but like the amount of time that these things take to upload, edit, post, film, all of the things, and then the behind the scenes things of like money and finances and emails back and forth for sponsorships and things and blah, 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 blah. If you're curious about all that, I'd love to do a podcast episode on it. But anyways, I'm saying all that to say, like, the reason that it is all possible because of you logistically and just like financially wise is because I would not be able to spend the amount of time that I do on this if I was not making money, because I have to make money to provide a life for myself. And entering a new marriage, I want to, you know, I desire to bring in a good chunk of money as financial income as being a wife. And I'm so blessed to be able to save money right now and live with my parents. But I digress. Anyways, logistically, like the likes, the comment, the engagement, the subscriptions on YouTube and the downloads on Spotify and the follows on Spotify or wherever you stream this podcast and the double tap on the TikTok and all these things, like logistically, they bring in money, and that is funding me to be able to continue to do this. Now, emotionally, what takes the cake and the reason that really spurs the thank you so much for being a part of this and supporting what Ryan and I love to do in creating content and sharing the gospel is your words are so kind. So kind. I tell Ryan all the time, I'm like, it baffles me that someone literally took the time out of their day to sit, watch our video, hit the little like speech bubble icon and then type something out to us. And sometimes it's just like an emoji. Sometimes it's a whole paragraph. Sometimes it's a direct message. Sometimes it's an email. And I'm literally sitting there with such imposter syndrome, but I have to remind myself, like, I am equipped. I'm made for such a time as this. Like, the Lord, I can boast in the Lord and know that I am, my confidence is found in Him. And this is where He has me. But I still struggle with, like, why me? Like, what? This is crazy. The fact that someone took the time out of their day to say a positive word towards me or the content or towards Ryan or towards something involving our content in general. I have such an extreme sense of gratitude towards that, and also just love and desire to want to get to know the person on the other side of that screen. My long-term prayer for this is that the podcast can become something that doesn't stay behind the screen, and it allows us to form those in-person community connections. But right now, the community that we're building online is such a safe space for me, and you all have no idea how much you've helped me and how grateful I am to have that community. It truly is a community, truly. So with that being said, sorry to get sappy. It's an 11-minute intro, which is super long, but what else is new? So I'm tapping back into some of these questions. That was a really harsh transition, but I love you guys. So I'm tapping back into some of these questions that I put a box out on our Instagram. If you are a podcast-only listener, you should head over to the Instagram. It's a fun time. That's Life Poddy, P-O-D-D-Y. We're trying to get the name Abby and Ryan because we want to change. Well, I don't know if I'm supposed to announce that or not, but whatever. We want to change the name to Abby and Ryan because we feel like that just fits us better at this point. And the podcast is becoming its own thing. And Ryan and I are kind of shifting into just Ryan and Abby content and not as much only podcast kind of content. But there is someone from 20 something teen that has the name Abby and Ryan. And they're probably a wonderful person, but they haven't posted since like 2013. So I know it's an old lost account. So hopefully something happens with that. I'm going to let you guys in on a little secret. Ryan and I did report that account and say that it was no longer active or the closest option to that. So hopefully Instagram takes it down soon so that Ryan and I can steal that name, but we'll see. Anyways, this is all things fitness, all things eating disorder, all things in that realm, health, wellness, not necessarily like struggles in health and wellness. We definitely will tap into that, but it can also just be current questions about where I am today and more lighthearted things. So we're going to dive into that and it's going to be awesome. I do want to put out a trigger warning. I don't know how deep I am going to get into the eating disorder realm. I got pretty deep into it in part one, if you haven't listened to that yet, but I don't feel like I'm going to get as deep into it in this one, but you never know where the spirit's going to move. But I wanted to go ahead and put that trigger warning out there for anyone that may be struggling with hearing those things right now. And if you are, please reach out to someone and know I love you and I'm here for you. And my DMs are always open. Fave running shoes and clothes. Okay, so I'm going to be so real with y'all. This is my biggest struggle as a content creator is that people ask me for recommendations and I'm going to be so real. I get what is cheapest for the best quality or what my mom gets me or what I get gifted. And that's it. That's literally it. If I can save a buck, I'm going to save a buck. Now, there are some exceptions, okay? I have only ever ran until this year in Brooks running shoes. I absolutely love Brooks running shoes. However, the reason that I love them and that I've only ran in them until this year of my life is because my dad works for a company within Fruit of the Loom. Fruit of the Loom owns a bunch of different companies, including Brooks, so I get a discount on those shoes. Therefore, they were the cheapest running shoes for me. You can see how this is a trend. So I've only ever known those shoes when we signed with a management company and they were like, what are your favorite brands? What are your favorite shoes? What are your favorite clothes? I was like, I don't know. I just go to the Fruit of the Loom store. That's all I've ever known. So a bunch of exposure to all these new brands. I'm just now learning and grasping what I like, what I don't like. But what I can tell you is this. I tried and true, Brooks, still my number ones. New Balance may be taking the cake because I did get some new Balance shoes. Oh, shoot. I don't even remember the name of them. Oh, goodness gracious. I'll put it in the description box of this, or I'll put it in the description box of this, of everything that I've talked about. But they're white. That doesn't help you at all. What I do know is my favorite Brooks running shoes are the Glycerin, the GTS Glycerin 21 Stealth Fit. I might have ordered that wrong, but all of those words are included in that. I love the Stealth Fit of Brooks because Stealth Fit, it basically means like a sock-like feel. So instead of around your ankle where it's kind of that foamy, round, more stiff ankle lining, it fits like a sock. So it's very, very stretchy, and it is like a thin cloth almost that just lays on your ankle. And so I wear ankle socks, like socks that go above my ankle, so it doesn't rub, but it's very, very breathable. It's very stretchy. I don't feel it pressing up against my ankle when I run, and I just feel the cushion below the soles of my feet. I don't feel anything above the bottom of my feet, which I really love. I love a breathable shoe. I love a stretchy shoe. So I love the Brooks Glycerins. And then I also love the Levitate Stealth Fit from Brooks. I've ran in those and I love them. But those are the two that I've always ran in from Brooks. I love my Mizuno NeoVista 8s. I ran the ultra marathon in those. They're like super, super thick, like a super chunky sole. And they also fit like that sock like texture. Again, I don't know if it's necessarily has the Stealth Fit on there or not. And then I got gifted some Under Armour shoes. I like them. They're good. They're a little heavy on the feet, but pretty good for like an easy run. But I'm really loving these New Balances. I got gifted them like 2-3 days ago. So I'll be posting some reviews about those on my story as well on Instagram. But I don't know. They're pretty good. I'd be running pretty fast in them, I'm not gonna lie. Again, clothes, anything that's soft, anything that's breathable. For t-shirts, I'm an oversized girly, so I struggle with finding the right sizes for me in workouts. But if I'm being quite honest, majority of the time when I work out, I'm in a sports bra and shorts. And that is because, now listen, hear me, there's a lot of controversy over Christian women wearing sports bras and shorts or navigating modesty in the fitness area. I hear that. And I've talked about this a little bit on my podcast before. I have prayed and wrestled with the Lord over this, gone in phases. But for me, I am a sensory person, okay? Even the like certain outfits that I'm wearing, even the sweater that I'm wearing right now, I wear it because I think it's cute and it's I can wear it enough, but the wool, I feel specific places throughout the sweater that like rubs me the wrong way. I wouldn't be able to sit on the couch in this and like watch a movie with Ryan. I would have to go change into something comfy. The thing is, I think it might even be like, I don't know, you guys can help diagnose me in this, but and I'm not a doctor, but it could be like a ADHD sensory thing or something. I've heard some stories of people that kind of have similar things because I've been curious about it, but people touching me or shaky hands near me or clothes that rub a certain way or are tight in certain places or are loose in certain places or just are structured weird. It makes me feel nauseous. It makes me feel like I'm gonna vomit, and I only focus on that. I can't focus on anything else. And so for me, that's why I wear the sports bra and shorts, or that's why I wear the specific clothes that I do. I know my intentions are pure in that, and I also know the sensory level that's added to it. Now, when I go to the gym, I'll wear some of Ryan's old t-shirts. I'll always wear like an athletic fit or something oversized or something large, but I don't really have specifics that I like. I kind of just wear what I want. I love Lululemon leggings. That I am like diehard Lululemon leggings girl. I'm trying to navigate some other ones because Lulu is expensive, but Lulu never fails. Lulu never fails. I'm wearing some Definite article leggings right now. It's the first time that I've tried them and I really like them. They're orange and they're cutie. The waistband is really nice. So those might be ones that I'm leaning towards in the fitness world, but I can't really give you guys any more than that because I just wear a lot of hand-me-downs. That's why I'm struggling with linking things because everything's from Goodwill or hand-me-down. I can't find the links. I don't know what it is. But anyways, those are some of my favorites. I'm a Nike sports bra wearing girl. I love Brooks, New Balance, Lululemon. If it's a deal, I'm gonna get it. TJ Maxx fitness section, sign me up. Okay, next one. Does food guilt ever go away? I actually had an epiphany about this the other day. I was thinking and I was like, is my eating disorder, like I was thinking about the thought of recovery, you're always in recovery versus, you know, I am recovered. And the thought of like my eating disorder, is it gone? Is it not? Like I still feel like I understand those thoughts, but I don't necessarily like act them out, but they could come back. And I always want to be aware, but does that mean that I'm still in recovery or does that, and I just was going in this spiral. And I think the thing is I am not in eating disorder mindset, but I am always connected to it. Like I will always be connected to that little 13-year-old girl who looked in the mirror and tore herself apart. I will never forget those. I'm always connected to that version of me. However, I am not that version of me. And so when it comes to food guilt, I really think we have to take our thoughts captive. Do I experience food guilt? Yes. But do I experience it to the extent that my previous phases of eating disorder Abby has? No. But have those thoughts also come back in every once in a while in different phases of my life? Yes. But in the phase of life that I'm in right now, no. But do I think that that could come back again? 100%. Do I think it will? Yeah, probably. In seasons of my life where I feel out of control, definitely. Because when I feel out of control, I go to where I know what I know I can control. And what I can control is food. And the enemy wants to take captive our thoughts when we get stronger and send guilt over certain things that are our weaknesses or our little places in the rope that are about to break and the enemy comes in is like snip. And I just think food guilt is one of those things. The trick is to navigate the thoughts of food guilt. So like, yeah, I pretty often honestly have food guilt thoughts, but I don't believe them. It's almost as if it's an instinct. And then I take the thought captive and I throw it out of my brain. So for example, I just finished dessert after dinner. Okay. So I had dinner and then I had dessert. That's my normal routine. I'll have a good protein filled dinner and then I'll have a pretty significant dessert, like a big dessert because I like to be full. I'm usually pretty hungry and you know, whatever, say it's a yogurt bowl, say it's some Simple Mills cookies, sweet potato nachos, whatever. I'll have something sweet. If I'm still hungry, I pretty regularly have the thought of like, well, you already ate all you needed for the day, so you don't need to eat anything else. And I immediately take that thought captive and I'm like, okay, that is something, that's a rule that I place inside my head that is non-existent now. And I am not living in that same place, so I don't need to listen to the thoughts of the girl that was in that place. So I take the thought captive, I let it go in one ear and out the other, but I don't take it down and store it in my heart and believe it. And then I go back to the pantry and I eat what I want. And say I finish eating and I'm like, oh, I should not have eaten that. Ask yourself why. Why? Because you believe what? Do you believe that? Or is the devil telling you you believe that? Because I have control over my mind. The devil doesn't have control over my mind. I have the Holy Spirit inside of me. And if the Holy Spirit is inside of me, that's the ultimate power. That is the ultimate power. That is the God of heaven's armies that lives inside of me. So the devil can't beat that. The devil can't win over that. I have the power over the thoughts that I store in my heart that are placed in my mind. The devil doesn't have authority over that. So that's my encouragement for my friends out there that have been feeling that food guilt. Does it ever go away? Yeah, you just, it's a practice. It's not a hope. It's definitely a prayer. You can definitely pray it, but taking action is the first step. Realize it and take those thoughts captive. Even if you have to lie to yourself, even if you have to fake it, your brain can only think of one thing at a time. Force yourself to pray. Force yourself to think about someone else. There were so many times where I had to do that. I would feel so guilty, and then I would just start praying for Sally Sue in class because I had to force myself to think of something else. And then it gets you thinking about someone else. It gets you praying. It gets you in prayer. It gets you connected with the Lord. Try it. It may help you out. Okay. Let's see what a good one is. Does the feeling gross when eating stop? Does the feeling gross when eating stop? I think yes. Because when I eat now, I feel empowered. I feel proud. I feel beautiful. I feel strong and I feel full. I feel mighty. I feel energized. And it will stop. My concern when hearing this is, again, where are those thoughts coming from? Because the food isn't sending those thoughts to you. So who are you listening to? Who are you worshiping? Who are you placing as the idol in your life? Because the food isn't whispering those thoughts in your head. My encouragement to you is to get rooted in the truth and start saying truth over you and see how it bleeds into mealtime. How it bleeds into you looking at your body and your body image, and invite someone into those thoughts. Invite community into that. People that you trust, people that you want to be like, not just random people you know are going to tell XYZ amount of people, but invite wise counsel into that. But my heart hurts hearing that. I definitely have felt that. You are not alone in feeling that. I still feel like that to this day. Right before, I talked about having a little burnout spell and I took 8 days off of working out. The thing that triggered that was I felt so disgusting after eating. And there was a little bit of gluttony in there as well and overeating. And it seems to be a little bit of a different situation because I don't want to diagnose. This is a very general question, but you know, you could really actually need to be eating way more food than you are right now. That was a situation where I was eating purely based off of feelings and emotion, and to a point to where it wasn't like a comfort meal that made me feel good. It was just not good. It was not a good coping mechanism, and I was so burnt out, and I was trying to create a feeling from that, but I felt so gross. I say all that to say, I felt so gross. So I've felt that. Tons of people have felt that, but tons of people have come out of it. So know that that also applies to you. The thing about the eating disorder and about these food thoughts is that we tell everybody else these things, but we don't think the rule applies to us. And why? I have to tell myself that. It's like, oh, well, they can eat that, but I can't. Why? Why? Well, because they can stay in their cute little figure and they can stay fit and in shape, but not me. What? Who said that? Have you said that? Did someone tell you that? Do you believe that? Do you know that for fact? Where's the papers? Where's the facts behind that? Did the Lord tell you that? Like, get yourself outside of yourself, because the rule applies to you. And if you're like, but Abby, it doesn't. Do some searching why. Prove to yourself why. And until you can prove to yourself why, the rule doesn't apply. It doesn't. How do I start aligning nutrition with running? This is something that took me a long time to grasp, but I feel like I may be getting it down to somewhat of a science for me. So my runs and my training runs have skyrocketed since I've put on weight. Just because, like, my injury prevention, I haven't been injured, thank you Jesus, since I've put on weight. I definitely feel so much more alive throughout the day. I'm not crashing. I like actually have a soul and I'm not just having enough energy to get through my runs and to get through my lifts. And it's because of the eating. So when you break it down to a science, in order to maintain your body weight, you have to eat maintenance calories of what you burn. Okay. So whatever your calorie base is, I'm going to use an extremely low number for this example because I don't want anyone to compare a certain calorie goal to anyone else's because that everyone is different. So let's say your maintenance calories are 100. That is literally impossible. This is, again, a very extreme thing. But let's say your maintenance calories are 100 calories in a day. That is saying you need 100 calories that day to maintain your body weight without doing any exercise, sitting on the couch all day, doing nothing. Any exercise that you add on to that, you need to eat what you burned in order to maintain your weight. In training blocks, it is so important to maintain your weight and most honestly gain weight. If you're gaining muscle, you're going to gain weight. The more training that you do, the more your body's going to store that water. It's going to be in a state of stress. It's probably going to put on pounds. And especially for women, we thrive in rest. And when you're in intense training blocks, you don't get that rest. Your body is in a stressed state a lot, especially in endurance sports. And so it's so important to eat the right amount of calories, to replenish, and to eat the right amount of foods. I've found for my body personally that a carb and fat focus on my diet has really helped me improve. I say this because I feel like protein is everyone's goal, which most meals I base around the protein. I start with a protein. I have that as the foundation of the meal, but I am eating significantly more carbs and fats, even fats, like in the past couple of months. I have eaten way more fats now than I ever have in my entire life, honestly, and I felt the best I ever have, and I honestly feel like my body is thanking me for it. I feel like I am happy with the way that I appear. Not saying I want to seek a certain image, but I just feel proud of the body that the Lord has given me. And I think part of it part of the way that I'm stewarding it well and taking care of it is what I'm eating. I say all that to say, depending on what your goals are in running, is then going to help you navigate what your nutrition plan is. And so if you're wanting to align nutrition with running, start with the diet and then build the nutrition around your training plan, if that makes sense. Let me give an example. I'm jumbling my words here a little bit. Start with your meal. If you're like, okay, I'm a runner, I run X amount of miles, this is what I do, blah, 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 blah. Great, awesome. Look at your meals first, breakfast, lunch, dinner. What am I eating here? Then look at your snacks. After you look at your snacks, evaluate your hydration. Where am I getting my electrolytes? Where am I getting my salt? Where am I getting my magnesium? Whatever things that you need. After you've evaluated that, then look at the nutrition that you are having during your runs, before your runs, after your runs. This will help you have a guideline and a blueprint and a map to then you can start incorporating and aligning training with food. You have to evaluate your starting point first before changing things. You have to see where you are at. We are creatures of habit. Every day is going to be different. And that's why I don't specifically prescribe meal plans to people, because I feel super constricted when I have a specific meal plan. But I do have like a tracker app on my phone so that I can guesstimate ish and kind of evaluate, okay, this was my caloric intake. These were somewhat of my certain macros, give or take. This is the range that I'm in. But I never want to get so specific to where I feel like I have to follow this. And if I don't follow this, then I'm a failure. Because one, that's mentally taxing. Two, how are you going to experience life? Like, I want to go to a restaurant. I'm not going to pull out my scale at the restaurant. I'm not going to weigh out or ask for, oh, can you cook this in my specific butter instead? I can do those things when I'm at home. Great. Stay dedicated, but let yourself live. Focus on the people you're around when you're out to eat, and those kind of things. So evaluate roughly, have a rough blueprint, a rough plan of both your training and your nutrition. And then from there, evaluate, how do these foods make me feel? How does this make me feel when I eat this before a run? Is this settling well with my stomach? Is this not? I don't ever want to provide specifics because every single body is different. You'll hear a majority of the time that like bread or a oat granola bar or some sort of potato or starch or fruit fill in the carb. Those specific carbs would do well before a run. Well, that's because your body taps into those glucose or glycogen stores. Your body turns the carbs into glucose, puts them in the glycogen stores. And when you run, your body pulls from those glycogen stores and burns that. And that's what fuels endurance sports, especially. So that's why people say eat the carbs. Great, 100%. But also, if you're like, well, I need to eat bread before a run because that's a carb, and people say that this is what you have to eat before a run. If that is not making you feel good, if you're feeling cramps, if you're feeling farts and all the things, don't. Your body may be different. Your body may be different. There are so many people out there who eat 1,000 to 2,000 calories more or less than somebody else, but they're doing the same amount of exercise and they might look the same. Why? Because everybody requires something different. Even me shaking my finger, talking with my hands right now is burning calories. Like, these are the things that also play into our genetic makeup. Like, someone who doesn't talk with their hands, they're not going to burn as many calories. There was a study somewhere, don't quote me on this, but I remember reading some astronomical number of calories burned for people that fidget more or shake their leg more or have nervous tics or nervous habits or pick at their finger. Like, you burn a significantly more amount of calories throughout the day. And like, it just goes to show that every single person is different. So evaluate your plan, evaluate your training, evaluate how you feel, and then start testing things. It's going to take a lot of time, but how I've built how my body reacts so well to the foods that I eat is because I just started paying attention. I took note of where I was, and then I built a basic flexible, emphasis on flexible format of, okay, this is usually what I have, or these are a couple options that I have for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. I usually will go out to eat after church on Wednesdays and Sundays. Okay, cool. Let's just go from there. And it can be very empowering and also give you flexibility to just evaluate where you're at. And then from there, it was like, okay, my stomach hurts after this meal. Why? What did I eat? Okay, well, let me start over again tomorrow and see if I take out the corn in that bowl and replace it with peas instead. Maybe I'll feel better. Okay, I still don't feel better. So I know it wasn't the corn. Okay, maybe it's the brand of rice that I bought. Maybe I'll use noodles instead. Oh, I feel better now. Okay, so it's definitely that kind of brand of rice. I'm just going to stay away from that for a little bit. 2 weeks down the road, I really want that rice. Okay, I'm going to try it again and see. Oh, that hurt my stomach again. Okay, I know it's that rice. I need to stay away from it. And if I want that rice, I need to take into consideration the consequence that I'm going to have. These are legitimate thoughts that I have still to this day when evaluating how I feel with food, but very, very, very less significantly because I've gone through this. And it's worked for me. Maybe this is way too much thinking for you, but this can help when you want to align the nutrition part of your life and the running part of your life. How did you find confidence wearing clothes after weight recovery? That's so funny that you say that, because that's still something that I struggle with. Still. I think a lot of people do. Male and female. Female and male. I think it's more emphasized in the female world. But it is not talked about enough for men. Everyone, I would say, it is safe to say everyone has felt this in some capacity. I really struggled at first with wearing the clothes, the same clothes that I did when I was a smaller version of myself to now, and being like, well, that doesn't fit me the way that it did. Okay. And then this is the thought process. Okay. So it doesn't fit you the way that it did. Is that good? Is that bad? Well, no, it's just different. Okay. Is different good or bad? Well, this kind of feels like a bad different. Okay, why? Because I struggle with change. Okay, so the root of why you're feeling like this is not necessarily because you look different. You're just struggling with change. You aren't struggling with your specific body. Well, I am, because I look at my body and I don't like how it looks. Why don't you like how it looks? Because I'm different. It's like, get real with yourself. Get so real with yourself and talk through these things with yourself, because no one knows your brain like you know your brain. The only person that knows us better than, or the only person that hears our thoughts and knows those, every single thought that we have, is the Lord. And he knows us better than we know ourselves. He literally created us. So if you start spinning in those spirals and in those circles, okay, well, I'm getting nowhere with this. Lord, give me a desire to want to love my body. Place the desire in my heart to look at my body as your artwork. Lord, help me see myself the way you see me. Just, you know, speak these things over yourself. Look in the mirror. I'm fearfully and wonderfully created by the Almighty Heavenly Father, maker of heaven and earth. I mean, man, that's empowering. And yeah, you're still going to have your days. You're still going to struggle. But the voice will become smaller and the voice will hold less weight. And give yourself grace, because it's hard. But something I had to come to terms with in my body image and just looking at myself and, you know, starting to order sizes up in clothes, or ordering, this is a very real example, but ordering two dress sizes in the same wedding dress and putting on the smaller one first because I had hoped the smaller one would fit perfectly and it didn't zip up. So I had to go to the bigger size and I felt really insecure. Little things like that. The devil's going to try to make you hold on to those and make you spiral and go down a rabbit hole. You have to remind yourself, like, the Lord isn't going to place you on this earth to not change and to not grow, because growth is beautiful. Jesus came in the form of a baby boy, but his best miracles happened when he was 30. He grew. He grew up. He got old. He changed. He shifted. We are supposed to change. We are supposed to shift. Our bodies are not supposed to look the same as they did, especially when we were starving them, or especially when we were harming them, or especially when we weren't treating them right. And the thing is, like, the societal gaze of what beauty is physically has also shifted. And so I have to tell myself, am I not content in the way I look because I feel this way, or because this is what society says? However many years ago, like, the desired female physique was like huge breasts, huge belly, huge everything, huge thighs, huge, like, excess amount of fat and excess amount of whatever. And now we look in the magazine today and we see teeny tiny itty bitties. And not saying one is better or one is worse, but those, you know, two different extremes just go to show like how society placed female beauty specifically. And so the reason it was like that back then, if you want to know, was because it showed that women could produce babies and that was desirable for men. So I have to be real with myself and be like, who am I serving? Because if I'm trying to seek man and I'm trying to seek man's approval in my body, I'm worshiping man. I'm not worshiping God. I'm idolizing man's approval. I am seeking man's approval. I'm not seeking God's approval. And I think that really puts a lot of things into perspective when I go to look at my body after putting on clothes that fit a little bit differently. And the feeling of it, it's hard. I am someone who loves a loose, baggy fit. And when the clothes didn't fit as loose or as baggy, that was hard, especially in the upper chest area. I still struggle with that today. Something about it. I don't know what it is. It's a big insecurity of mine. And yet, I know my worth. I know I'm beautiful. I know that the Lord designed me exactly how he wants me to be in this season of life. And it'll change. It will change. It always changes. Our bodies will never stay the same. So let life be life. Get outside of yourself. And I'm speaking to myself with all of this. This is a wake-up call for me as well. And realize that there is so much more. I mean, goodness gracious, Nick Bear got hit by a car the other day. And he was like, whoa, there is so much more than just this go, 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 go. If you don't know who Nick Bear is, he's a runner guy. Anyways, he got hit by a car. He's fine. Don't worry. He's fine. Anyways, I say that because like your life will be here one day and gone the next. And I'm not going to sit on my deathbed and be like, I had such a flat tummy. I am so proud of myself because I had a thigh gap. Like, I'm not going to say those things. When I'm on my deathbed, I'm going to think back of the people I knew, the person I was. I want people to remember me as a follower of Jesus Christ and a spreader of the gospel, not Little Miss Perfect Body. So going into 2025, like visualize these goals for yourself, write them down, make a vision board, pray about them, pray over them, find verses to speak over yourself when the devil tries to creep in and take you down, because he's not going to go after someone who's weak. He's going to go after someone who's strong because he wants someone strong on his side, right? The stronger you get, the more he's going to try to use different tactics. So bye, devil. See you later, devil. Not today, because I serve a God who is the Lord of Lords, the one and only, the Almighty Messiah, the three in one. And that's on period. Listen, friends, I love y'all. This was a very chaotic episode, but it's also a bonus episode, so like it kind of fits the vibe. Hopefully Ryan will be back next week, but if not, let me know what you want to hear. I film on Mondays, so you got a lot of time to think about what you want me to talk about. I love you guys. Praying for you all going into the holidays. Thanks for listening, and Jesus loves you. I love you, and that's life.